Welcome to a brand new edition of the Fro Ballers podcast here live from the Ennis Media Studios in central London, Covent Garden to be exact. This is the Ennis restaurant. This is where we break down the hottest headlines in the sporting calendar from our brothers and sisters' perspective, if you know what I mean. We need the subscriptions, likes, comments. Make sure you share on social media and give us a thumbs up and a subscription once you do. My name is Adeshope Olaji, a.k.a. Shopsidu, and I'm joined in the studio every week by my brother, the experienced and looking very fresh, TJ Walls.
How are you, boss?
Omo, your barber is... You need to introduce me to your barber, bro.
No problem, brother.
Like you went for a clean, serious work.
Yes, no, Nigeria won, so I'm happy.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. If you're just joining us for the first time, this is where we just have a chin wag over some sporting headlines, including enjoying some of Ennis Restaurant's tasty delicacies. Now, Ennis Restaurant has over 11 branches here in London and 3 in Dubai, and we're going to be opening one really soon somewhere else as well. We'll let you know. But you could go on Ennis.co.uk, yeah. Not only to find a location near you, how you can order some food, especially if you're in the UK or in Dubai. And if you want to listen to the radio, it's Ennis Radio as well.
Yes.
Ennis Radio on Ennis.co.uk. We're playing the best of Afro beats across the world, and we've got the incredible selections, playlists, and DJs running on Ennis Radio. Because if you're at work, you're driving in a car, you only want to listen to some inspired Afrobeats music, go to ennis.co.uk and stream live Ennis Radio wherever you are in the world. Now we're going to go into it. We've been doing the Fro Ballers podcast since the AFCON Championship started.
Yeah.
We've been looking into, you know, some of the fascinating games, some of the standout players, some of the not so good games, not so good players, teams that have also sadly gone back home, and it's getting tighter now. The competition has just gone into the knockout stages, where some of the big teams, as you guessed it, and as you predicted, Walsh, have now gone home. But before we start, I think before we go into that, the biggest headline in the last couple of days is that Egypt is out after a penalty showdown against the Democratic Republic of Congo. Egypt, I believe, has the highest number of AFCON championship titles.
Yes, I think they've got five.
They've got five stars on their jersey signifying five titles. They come into any competition in Africa as one of the favorites, not only because of the array of talent that they usually have in their national team, but also how advanced their local league is. Mm-hmm. For decades, the Egyptian league was arguably the number one league in Africa, where a lot of players around the continent used to aspire to go to the Egyptian league to go and play football. So naturally, they've got better facilities. I believe the top two clubs in Egypt have 100,000-seater stadiums.
Yeah.
And that tells you how big it is over there. However, they go into the knockout stages against an inspired Democratic Republic of Congo, who had come out of the group stages and on paper was staring at the giants of Africa in Egypt. They scored first, and the Egyptians were actually lucky getting a penalty, but putting it away and ultimately leading into the penalty shootout. Yeah. They eventually won the penalty shootout 8-7 with the Congolese goalkeeper facing off against the Egyptian goalkeeper who had skied his opportunity, but the Congolese keeper scored seamlessly and took the Republic of Congo now into the quarterfinals. What are your thoughts about that game, and how huge is the defeat for Egypt in the AFCON Championships this year?
Going into from the first game, I'd said on this podcast, to say, look, I don't see Egypt going anywhere.
I'm surprised.
And when Salah had that injury, I knew that's it for them.
Yeah, the first game they drew 2-1, isn't it?
Yes, and it was even by luck.
Yes.
So I knew they
against
were not,
Namibia.
Yeah. So I wasn't surprised. Mm. They played well that day, but again in football, goal matters.
Absolutely.
But I could see the zeal, the determination in the Congolese.
Hence why I
players.
Said an inspired
yeah.
performance.
So,
yeah.
And that's the beauty of the African Cup of Nations. We see new things come up every time. Mm. And it's a shame that these big teams, like let's say I'll call them the top four, haven't learned enough. So say, look, when we're coming to next time we're coming to the AFCON,
just win your match.
Just win your match.
Go out
you
there.
You can't just, look down on any anything. You can't look at what I know we're still going to touch on it. Look at what Guinea did to Equatorial Guinea. And the form Equatorial Guinea had been, we didn't know they were going to lose.
Scoring goals for free.
For free. And Sue missing the, and he's on 5 goals now.
Penalty.
He missed the penalty. He missed like at least two clean
opportunities.
So, and that's the beauty of AFCON.
What about the injury to Salah? Obviously, Egypt was going into this championship with a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of Mohamed Salah, arguably one of the biggest or one of the most incredible football players in world football in the last 5 or 6 years. Has been the African Player of the Year a couple of times. What are your thoughts? Because the injury instantly sent shockwaves across the Egyptian team. Not only that he was injured, but he was flown straight back to Liverpool for rehabilitation, which instantly sent a message to his teammates that it looks like I'm not coming back.
The biggest mistake they made was build a team around, around Salah.
But isn't that what you do when you have a superstar football player?
But that has always gone wrong when when the said superstar player gets injured. We're having the same issue now with the Super Eagles.
Who's the star player?
Obviously, it's Osimhen.
Yeah, but
everyone wants to pass to him. Everyone. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
We kind of talked down on Osimhen, but the responsibility on him is massive. The Osimhen we know with the first goal will shoot in our last match.
Yep.
But he literally
he decided to pass
the ball to Lookman
because he was thinking about
if I miss
the opportunity, the criticism
and he
continues.
So well that day that I was like, okay, this guy's beginning to probably be listening to some criticism and all that. So, and that's the problem. This is what is helping Senegal. Mane is not playing like he's the star player. He's even distributing balls, and that is what is helping them.
But I think, isn't that what usually happens, especially in African football, where when you have a team that clicks into gear, the next 4, 6, or 8 years, it usually looks like they have multiple star players. Example, the Elephants of Ivory Coast, the Didier Drogba era. You know, the Ghanaian national team, the, what's his name, Baby Jet,
Asamoah Gyan
era. You know, if you look at the Nigerian national team, Amokachi, Amunike, Okocha era, you always have a team, when the team looks solid, there's always 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 solid football players within the team. And I believe that Senegal right now have that African strong team where not only is Mane an international superstar that's, you know, really acclaimed in his career so far, but some of the other supporting role, the supporting players in the team are also either playing at really good teams in Europe, but also delivering consistently for the national
but
team.
But one thing that helped them was all through their qualifying stage, all their top players were
delivered.
Around. They delivered. They didn't miss one training.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing I respect Mane about. He doesn't mind losing the club thing. He will fly back for anything. But we see other teams or Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Ghana, we see players coming late.
Onana suffered against that. And one of the, I actually gave his team and the coach a little bit of a shout out because I felt from what we heard in the commentary was the fact that the team and coach had to make a decision whether to put him into the team, especially because he hadn't started with, he hadn't trained before the competition and he didn't arrive until the day of the first match. Yeah. And they felt including him in the team would send a bad message to other players. Mm-hmm. And you could possibly say the decision for Onana not really gelling with the Cameroonian team,
it cost them.
Cost them their performance because that's their superstar player.
Yeah. Because even if you look at the two goals from that Nigerian scored against them, their goalkeeper didn't have a strong hand.
The first goal was very weak.
Even the second goal he could have literally pushed it inside. So, and I'm sure Onana would have at least saved one of those. So, it really cost them.
Since we're talking about Nigeria, as we said, Egypt has now left the championships after failing to qualify against Democratic Republic of Congo on penalties.
Yeah.
Now, Nigeria played arch rival Cameroon, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon. I personally haven't been around for quite some time, have trauma against the Cameroonians because I remember the Roger Millers, the Omar Biyigs, the Kana Biyigs. I remember the Samuel Eto'os.
Yeah.
I remember the Mark Vivian. You know, the football players of old, the incredible Cameroonian giants.
Indomitable Lions.
Yes. So whenever Nigeria spits against the Cameroonians, I instantly start to get scared, but I have to be honest with you. The Cameroonian team that came to the AFCON Championships this year, there was nothing scary about that team.
Nothing. But there's a twist to that. Mm. Funny enough, the last time we lost to Cameroon was when we went to, I think it was the finals. The Ikweba's,
in 2002.
Yeah, Ikweba's 2002. Penalty yes. that they refused to count.
Yeah.
And that made us lose the finals.
AFCON 22, yeah.
I think since then, we've always been, like, in the quarterfinals, we've always knocked them out.
I believe we had, like, 14 matches against them.
Yeah.
And they've won, we up, like, 8 or something like that. But to be, again, the Cameroonian team, there was a lot of pressure. Not on the players, but on the coach. So I want us to discuss that.
Mm.
If you're looking at the Nigerian team, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
The coach is an unknown coach. We could hardly understand what he's talking about in press conferences. Nobody really doesn't know his name, his pedigree, his background in football. Mm-hmm. Of course, they'll say he has something huge. But on the flip side, you're looking at Cameroon, you're looking at Ghana, and there's a lot more pressure on the coach. Why is that?
As Africans, I think sometimes when I hear people say, oh, football in Europe, the passion in Africa when it comes to football is way more than you can ever see in Europe.
Mm.
Because in Africa, when you lose a match or you miss a goal, don't come back home. So now
we want to talk to you. We saw the Ghanaian press saying, "No, we don't bring them here."
So now, when we translate that into what is happening currently, people are angry. Especially, they know what the Cameroonian players can deliver.
Yes.
So now, and the more they see that the Cameroonians are not. And not the Indomitable Lions are not playing to their strength, especially when their coach was a former captain,
but that's
a former strong guy.
That's
Rico Ben's
song, though. That's a legend.
So they expect a lot from him.
So I'm one of those that really, really comes hard, like criticizes the coach heavily. But when you're there, I think there has to be a level of respect and space, that grace that's afforded an icon of the football game, Rigobert Song.
But sometimes when you look at it this way, a person like Rigobert Song even if they would lose or go out of this competition,
there has to be more performance, has to be better.
Yes. In fact, with their defense, because he's a former defender.
Yeah, because like, that's their defense specialty.
In this AFCON is nothing to write
home about.
It's
very loose.
So as a defender, as a strong man, he should do better.
Well, he should do better. Nigeria was victorious against Cameroon, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon. Ademola Lookman scored a brace, had the opportunity to score a hat-trick. Victor Osimhen did not score, but was the star player in that match. And that led to him being tested for drugs straight away after the match, just to check whether there was anything extra. But thank God there wasn't. The brother was just inspired. He wanted to deliver for the team. And obviously the criticism that they've been under in the press,
is
on social media. I wanted to talk about this quickly, though. I feel like the anger that the fans are displaying towards the football teams across Africa is on par with the rise of betting and the betting industry.
Oh.
A lot more people are now starting to place bets on matches. Celebrities have become influencers for betting companies. So there's a lot of money riding on these games. Is this a good or a bad thing?
Betting is bad.
It has to be.
It is bad. But sometimes when you look at, again, I'll still go back to the passion Africans have for football.
Yes.
There's one thing about Africans when it comes to football. Even when we lose, or when any of our team loses, you see, and they play well.
Yes.
You will not see, at least you only see maybe one or two people complaining.
Yep.
But the support will be there.
Yep.
Yeah, but when teams, especially some players, just feel they can just come, and because just wearing the African jersey is a lot.
It's like,
Because currently, with the way Africa is now, our economy is everything. The only thing that brings us together is football.
Sports and football.
Music.
Yeah, and music.
So no player can just come to Africa and say, you want to come and play for your national team, and you're not delivering. It won't go down well.
Throwing forward the quarterfinals, a matchup against the Angolan team that scored 3 goals in their qualifiers into the quarterfinals. This looks like a team that's, you know, very comfortable on the ball, very comfortable hitting the back of the net, have no problem striking, shooting on target, which seems to be a big problem for us. How confident are you that, of course, the Nigerian team have arguably the best defense in the championship at the moment?
Yeah.
They've been resolute. They've been unshaken. It's been a brick wall. However, up front,
we need to score goals.
We continue to display a little shyness.
Yeah.
How confident are you in this game?
There's only two things giving me confidence now.
Yeah.
Our defense.
Okay.
Because the Ajayi is literally holding it down, even as the captain.
Ekong.
Even as the captain, he is holding it down. I know he's doing well.
Ajayi is doing well. Everybody's.
What's his name on the this other guy? I mentioned Aino.
Yeah.
So now the second thing is the display Osimhen gave in the last game, and you could tell in his face. Like before the last game, I criticized him. I saw the zeal. I saw the hunger. Yeah. So the win. And what he's done at the last game will literally give him, I'm sure it gave him more confidence to go into the next game. So if the defense is holding it down against Angola, Osimhen needs to frustrate their defenders. The way he did to the Cameroonians, catching them off guard and everything, he needs to do it against Angola. And with that, if we can get past Angola, I see ourselves in the final.
Okay, and wrapping this week, this week's roundup on the Footballers Podcast is the heavy news, the headline news that came out of the Premier League in the last couple of days, where Liverpool head coach, who's been with Liverpool since 2015, announced, shockingly, that he'll be exiting the club at the end of the summer, after the league, Klopp announces his resignation, basically. And not only Klopp, in the Premier League, football legend Xavi as well announced he'll be leaving Barcelona at the end of the season. But quickly, Klopp, was he pushed or did he want to leave?
I'm sure it was pushed. We've seen it with Liverpool, like, in recent years. Like, I'm sure it was pushed. And I think he was faster than them announcing it. Yeah, he must have seen the writings on the wall. So it was faster than them announcing it. That said, listen, I'm leaving. Rather than them saying, oh, we sacked him. So it was a good one for him there. But it's been long. There can never be another Arsene Wenger or
Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson spending 20, 30 years at the club.
There can never be. And I think Liverpool is to blame because they really messed up club's team when they sold Salah. When they sold Mane. Because from the news that came out, he didn't want Mane to leave. So I'm sure it was pushed.
And now we're hearing reports that almost it's going to be a clear out at Liverpool.
Yeah, they need a change.
A couple of the big players might be leaving. And also one of the iconic football players in Liverpool, in Xabi Alonso, who's doing incredibly well in Germany, might be on the books to come back to Liverpool. Xavi at Barcelona leaving, a surprise? Or?
I'm not surprised because they're literally not doing well. Barcelona is a big club. I don't think they have that time to build a team.
And that's the biggest problem with most football clubs nowadays, to be honest.
They don't have that time to start building a new team. They have great players, but the Barcelona we've known before, they've always known to attract...
Galactico style.
Yes.
Compete with Real Madrid.
But right now, the young boys who are there now, they are doing well, but they cannot compete. They can't. They need time.
Okay. So, we'll be definitely watching the AFCON Championships closer, see who goes up in the next round, watching the interesting matches, the pitch, the big battles, especially Nigeria, Angola. It's going to be very interesting. As always, my brother Walls, thank you very much for joining me on Footballers Edition this week. Until next time, I'm Ali Shokwe. This is DJ Walls. We're live at Enish Media Studios in London. Grab yourself a bite at Enish Restaurant. Peace, and we're out.